Matthew chapter 10. I'm calling this Bible study, The More You Go, The More You Grow. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, if you look carefully in verse 1, it says, he called unto him his 12 disciples. But in verse 2, it says, now the names of the 12, what church? Apostles are these. In verse 1, he calls his disciples, but in verse 2, he says the names of the 12 apostles are these. Now, what does it mean to be a disciple? A what? A follower, right? And someone who learns of Christ. Now, what does it mean to be an apostle? What does apostle mean? I need your help. This is when I need your help this morning. We're going to do a little different. Talk back to me, okay? What does it mean to be an apostle? One who is sent. Very good. So in order to be one who is sent, you must first be one who follows and learns. Only disciples can be apostles. Now, did you notice that Judas is listed as an apostle? He was sent. He was given the Holy Spirit to cast out demons and relieve people of all kind of disease. Now, here's the next question, my friends. Actually, before we go to the next question, keep your finger here, and I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Where are we going, church? Luke chapter 9. Keep your finger in Matthew 10. We're coming back. Luke chapter 9. And verse 51. When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Amen. I believe what I'm going to share at second service is going to tie in to this. Luke 9 and verse 51. Notice what the Bible says. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. So you have two disciples that want to burn people up. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Where are we going, church? What chapter? All right, Mark chapter 10. When you get there, please let me know. You guys are fast. Mark 10. Verse 35. Look at this. And James and John, here goes these guys again, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire? Now, what kind of prayer to Jesus is that? Do whatever I want. Notice this. And he said unto them, what would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right and the other on the left hand in thy glory. So you got disciples that want to burn people alive. Now they want to sit on the right hand and on the left in God's glory. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Let's flip the page to Mark 14. And look at verse 71. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. Who's the Bible talking about, church?
Peter.
Now, I'm pretty sure he was swearing his oaths and stuff, but I'm pretty sure he was probably using some ancient cuss words as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't. You got guys wanting to burn people alive. You got guys wanting to sit on the right hand and to the left. You got a guy most likely using some ancient cuss words. Now turn with me to John chapter 6. What book are we going to? John chapter 6. Look with me, if you will, at verse 70. John chapter 6 and verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a what? Come back with me to Matthew 10 now. He calls unto him his 12 disciples. And the names of the 12 apostles are these, and he sends them out. Guys that want to burn people alive. Guys that are prideful, want to sit on the right hand and to the left. Guys that are using their ancient cuss words. Guys that are zealots. One of them was a zealot, probably killed some Romans. Guy who was a tax collector. Guy who Jesus called himself a devil. But yet he sends these guys out. Now, what does this tell you about the type of people that Jesus calls? Who does he call? What are your qualifications to be called by Christ? Do you need a high GPA? Do you need to pass a certain test? He uses the lowest of the low, and he gives them his spirit. And he says, learn of me. And being sent out is also a part of the learning and the education. Because if you don't go, you won't grow. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. I call them the Dirty Dozen. Remember that old movie, The Dirty Dozen? This is The Dirty Dozen. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Remember Legion, who had the Legion of Demons? In fact, I believe Ellen White says he was the first evangelist. He didn't send out these 12 first. He sent out those two guys first. These Jesus sent forth. Somebody say amen to the Lord.
Amen.
He got mercy to send us out because he knows something. So here's the next question, friends. Why doesn't he send angels out to preach the gospel? Wouldn't they do a better job than us? Why not angels? Why does he send us? Talk to me. What do you think?
We need to grow.
To save us? Say it again. Bingo. I like those two reasons. The angels can't relate like how we can relate with other people. And number two, we need to grow. When I was in rehab, I was so afraid to share instead of a testimony, they call it a share. It's the same thing as a testimony. And I was shy to do this in public. So if you gave your share, in AA, they'll call it a share. So I sat in the front of the room and I had a candle lit and the room, the lights were off and it was all dark. So everybody can see my face, but I couldn't see everybody else's face. And I shared my story, what I went through. And then by the time I was done, they turned on the lights and I can see quite a few people weeping and crying. And it made me think, wow, these people were connecting with my story. I sat down after I gave my share, and a young lady got up there. She was about 16 years old. She was the youngest in the program. She got up there to share her story, and she was just like me. I want the lights off and have the candle on. And I noticed that after, and her story was so powerful, touched me. And when the lights came on, I noticed that different people were crying that weren't crying in my story, but they connected with her. You know what that tells me? Each and every one of us has a story that will connect with a certain person that another person's story won't. God uses you because you're relatable. And God uses you because he knows that if you go, you will what, church? Let's look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, what's that next word after saying, church? Go. Can I hear you say go?
Go.
Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go. Can I hear you say go? Rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, can I hear you say go again?
Go.
Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As unqualified as they are, with all the faults that they have, Jesus says that two-letter word. He says, go. Now, here's my next question to you. Why did Jesus send them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first? Why? I want you to think. Wake them up so they can relate. Why did he send them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first? Say it again.
They need it.
It was easier. Train them for the Gentiles. I like these answers. When I read the Spirit of Prophecy, Sister White gave these answers. He sent them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first, because if they would have went to the Gentiles, they would have lost their influence with the Jews, because the Jews had a lot of prejudice in their heart. Oh, you going to them? We're not going to listen to you. Number two, God sent them to the Gentiles first because they themselves had prejudice in their hearts. They weren't ready to minister to the Gentiles. So God, that's true, had them sent to the Jews. Number three, the 490-year prophecy was not up yet, so the Jews' probation was not up. And God was going according to the prophecy. But I want to just talk about one of those things. They still had prejudice in their hearts. So God sends a bunch of misfits, the dirty dozen. Get out there. One of you's a devil, want to burn people alive. Go ahead and go. You got prejudice in your heart. But he still says, go. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if you keep your finger here in Matthew 10 and turn with me to Matthew 3. Turn with me to Matthew 3. Look at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at what, church?
Hand.
So back to Matthew 10. The disciples were sent to preach the same message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And God sent them to go and preach that message. Now look with me at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Are we there? Look at verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? What does this tell you of John the Baptist's understanding of the message that he preached? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now the disciples, the apostles, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now he's in prison and he's asking the question, is he the one to come or are we supposed to look for somebody else? What was John's understanding of the message that he was preaching? What was his conflict there? What kind of kingdom? Did he fully understand the kingdom of heaven that was supposed to be? He was under the impression that the kingdom of heaven is at hand was that there was going to be a takeover from Roman oppression. So when the disciples were preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what was their understanding? The same thing. They thought that the kingdom of heaven would be that they would be liberated from the Romans. Now watch this. God sends out 12 disciples and apostles with all kinds of issues. They got prejudice in their heart, and they're preaching a message that they don't even understand. And yet God says, go. Because you know why? If you don't go, you won't grow. Amen. But if you go, you'll grow. Go ahead and preach. Don't even know what you're talking about. Got all kinds of issues in your life, but go ahead and preach. I'm going to give you my spirit. God is extremely patient. This reminds me, I got a DVD. Anybody watch DVDs anymore? I definitely don't want to see this DVD again. After about 2-3 years of me preaching, coming into the faith, I was cleaning up or something, and I found this DVD. It was a DVD, and I played it in my DVD player. This is some years ago. And I watched it, and I was completely horrified. I was upset. In fact, I got angry at God when I watched this DVD. You know what it was? It was me preaching my first sermon. You know when you press fast forward on you're watching a video and you press x2, x3, x4 and you fast forward, you speed it up? It looked like somebody pressed x2 or 3 on that DVD, because you know what I was doing the whole sermon? I was pacing up and down so fast. And I said, man, I'm breaking everybody's neck in this sermon. The things I was saying, how I was sounding. I'm being honest with you. As I was watching that DVD, I was upset at God. And I said, God, why did you let me get up there and embarrass myself? And you know what? I'll probably watch this tape or this YouTube video a couple years down the line and say the exact same thing. But you know what the Lord showed me in that video? Hey, I'm not the best, but I'm sure not there anymore, church. And the things I was saying, was I completely 100% accurate? Probably not. Was my delivery the best? Absolutely not. But guess what? If you don't go, you won't grow. Now look at Matthew 10. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely what, church? Give. You gotta give. If you don't give, you won't grow. You'll stay stagnant. Proverbs 11 says there is that scatters and experiences an increase, and there is that withholds and it tends to poverty. When God has given you something, You have to give it to somebody else. If not, it's going to be poverty in your own life. He says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall himself also be watered. God wants us to be a spring of water whose water fails not. The Holy Spirit is a fountain of living waters. It's a river. A river moves. It's not stagnant. So now they have the Holy Spirit, and God has given them. And now they're preaching what they don't even understand. This is powerful. They're preaching about the kingdom of heaven, but at the same time, they're healing the sick, supposed to raise the dead, banishing diseases, knocking out the demons. So they're preaching what they don't understand, but what they're experiencing and doing is the kingdom of God. Because the message is not just supposed to be preached, it's supposed to be brought. And the people are not just supposed to listen, they're supposed to see and experience. So this was a part of their education. You know, when I was in the Army, I was a medical tech, a 91 Delta operating room technician. So we had our classroom training in Fort Sam Houston, Texas. But then we had our field training in the hospital, in Walter Reed Hospital, Washington, D.C., and in Hawaii, Tripler Army Medical Center. I'm in the operating room. I'm not in the classroom. And these are two fields or zones of education necessary for you to grow. Friends, we can't get all the book education and all the knowledge up here. God is telling us we have to be sent out as apostles and go. Because if we don't go, you won't grow. Look with me at verse 10. Verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his food. And as he's sending them out, he's saying, don't even bring your wallet, don't bring an extra jacket, don't bring extra clothes, don't be prepared for anything, just go. And as they're going, they're like, man, I'm hungry. How am I going to eat? I don't have any money. But God provides. Amen. My shoes are worn out. All of a sudden, somebody gives you a brand new pair of shoes. Man, I'm cold. Here goes another jacket. And what does that do for your faith? Now you're experiencing the provision of God. So next time you go without, you know who's faithful. Not because somebody told you, but because God showed you. And you will never have that education unless you go. Amen. So now he's sending them out into the field. Let's look at verse 11. And to whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. They're getting practical experience in the school of Christ. I don't have to teach you Greek or Hebrew. I'm going to teach you Jesus Christ. I'm going to send you out to the field and know how to detect the spirit. Is the spirit of peace there? How do I look for the spirit of peace? Because if he's there, then my peace will come upon it. The spirit of peace is the son of peace. So when you're witnessing, you're looking for signs of Christ moving in the current. Teaching them how to be soul winners. And when you would get rejected, dust the shoes off your feet and go to the next city. Guess what their qualifications were? Fishermen. I never done this in my life. How many of you feel uncomfortable when you knock on somebody's door and a stranger and you're in a crazy neighborhood? And you're like, man, I don't know who's going to open this door. But I can guarantee you what you're doing. Lord, help me, Jesus. Father, give me the words. And then when you see the Lord move, you walk out of there like, hallelujah. You know, when I went to PUC, I was learning my Greek and Hebrew. But I came to PUC, and
And they were all really pro-LGBT and all this kind of stuff. I'm like 30-something years old, 31, 32 years old in the class. Everybody's like 20 years old. The professor is talking all this crazy stuff. And I'm in the back getting mad. Man, I'm having visions of flipping desks over, of all the heresy that I'm hearing over here. And I'm going back and forth with all of my professors, because I'm 10 years older than everybody, and I'm putting them in their place. And then finally the Lord laid it on my heart and said, Tarek, you need to close your mouth. If you don't have the spirit of peace in your heart, these are still my children. And if you can't talk to them like you talk to your own mother, keep your mouth closed. And you know what the Lord taught me in PUC? By the way, I did pretty good in Greek and Hebrew. He taught me Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Go in there and love on them. They're young. Be like me. Be merciful. Be patient. Be loving. Be kind. You can say the right things, but the spirit, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. And every step of the journey, he says, Tarek, go. Yeah, you get embarrassed sometimes. Yeah, you look like a fool a lot of times. But I remember what Paul said. He said, I'm a fool for Christ's sake.
Yes.
And I count it all dumb.
Yes.
That I may win Christ.
Yes.
You're with him. You're never going to go wrong.
That's right.
Boy, Peter looked like a dummy. But Peter's in good standing in the name of God, by God's grace. He kept going. He kept growing. Now look at verse 16. Can you imagine being one of the disciples, apostles hearing this? Look at this. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'm thinking, okay, when are we going to do the takeover, Lord? Can I be the wolf? If I'm a sheep, that means I'm dinner. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Look at verse 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge. Did he just say scourge? Aren't we going to have the sword? Then he continues, verse 18. And ye shall be brought before governors. Okay, here he goes, the Gentiles. And the kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up. What? I'm going to be in chains. I'm going to be scourged. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you will speak.
Amen.
For it shall be given you in that same hour.
Amen.
That you shall speak.
Yes.
For it is not you that speak. It is the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
Yes.
Verse 22, you're going to be hated. Verse 23, you're going to be persecuted. Verse 25, they call me Beelzebub. What do you think they're going to do to you? Verse 28, he says, fear not them which kill the body. Kill? But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear God. You're going to get to a place. He's prophesying. These guys have faults. They got prejudice in their heart. They don't even understand what they're talking about. But he's prophesying a time where these dirty dozen brothers, at least 11 of them stayed in school, are going to get to the point where they stand before Gentiles as sheep,
yes,
not wolves.
Yes.
They stand with no prejudice in their heart, but love. They stand now understanding what it means when they preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
And that God is not going to use them to take over the Romans, but God was going to use them to save the Romans.
Amen.
And he would teach them that a sheep is mightier than a wolf.
Amen.
And these guys,
yes,
Peter, clothed with humility. Sons of thunder, want to burn people up. John became the closest to Christ's bosom and most like Jesus.
Yes.
And these men would reflect the glory of God.
Yes.
But guess what, friends? They wasn't going to learn that in school. Not no man's school. They only could learn that in the school of Christ.
Yes.
The more you go, the more you grow.
Yes.
And if you don't go, you won't grow. And then you won't know. But Christ, you know what the education is? And I'm going to close right here. The education is becoming just like Him.
Amen.
One with Him and to be just like Him. How many of you want to be just like Him?
Amen.
Let me ask you like this. How many of you need to be just like Him? Well, guess what? He made you in His image. And it's His desire to restore you fully into that image. His grace is sufficient, and the world is before you. It's true, the night is coming when no man can work, but the work is for us. So we can know, we can grow before the night comes.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for being patient with sinners. Thank you that we're not qualified. We never was. You're the only one who's qualified. But we thank you, Lord, that you're willing to use us to help ourselves as we help others all around us. Lord, teach us not to be afraid. Teach us to go. Wherever you send us, it may just be a phone call, maybe to a neighbor's house, or maybe a new mission project, maybe a new online ministry, maybe a new location for us to move to. Wherever it is, Lord, may we take your hand, not be afraid of looking like a fool or falling, but as long as you're there to carry us, to pick us up, may our only joy come in our relationship with you. And may that be seen to the whole world. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise for this commission and call and grace. In Jesus' name, we gladly accept. We gladly accept. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.